Hello, everyone. Welcome to a Craft of the Draft special. Today, we're focusing on the mid-season draft, which is happening tomorrow night. And we're going to go through who we think are the top Coates Talent League mid-season draft prospects. That is our focus on this channel. If you are new here, please check out our other videos for a bit more background and insight on these players. But we're just going to go through about 10 to 11 players who we think would be on clubs' radars, why they would be draftable, and why they also might not be draftable in that sense and what makes them less desirable. But I'm going to start with Joe Pike from the Geelong Falcons, who probably got overlooked last year because of his poor national championships for Vic Country. Just wasn't able to assert his dominance and his aggressiveness as much. But I think he's come back this year with a real impact on that aggressiveness, that ability to impact in transition and not be so one-dimensional as just a powerful ruckman. He's been able to move the ball well by hand. He's quite clean as well. And he's done that at VFL level as well. Watched him against Coburg's VFL last week, and he was able to move around the ground, provide an impact against senior bodies, and he was pretty proficient. And I think he's one that has developed really nicely in a matter of 6 months from just the end of last year to this year. I think if he gets onto an AFL list, that development will only help him. And if he was combating well at VFL level, I couldn't see why that doesn't continue to improve.
I look at him and I see a player who is the prototype of who gets picked up in the mid-season draft. And I also see a player who is the type of ruckman that is most sought after in the modern age. And I think those two traits are going to hold him in really good stead. So, yeah, I have liked seeing his development. You've watched more of the Falcons this year, so you can probably speak with a bit more credibility about what he's produced, but certainly has been a massive rise for him this year, and good to see him playing some consistent footy. Likewise, Lachie MacArthur out of the Western Jets, one who's getting a little bit less external attention than some of the others, and he didn't get the medical, some of these boys that we talked about have got, but there are still clubs that are really interested in him, and he's settled down back for the Western Jets this year. That's where he's played his best footy after playing some school footy up forward, played some early season games last year up forward for the Jets, but looks really, really solid down back. He played a game last week against GWV and he made it look like a dry footy, so that cleanliness, that ability to take intercept marks was really impressive. But what I really like is his athleticism. He's mobile, he's got a sharp step, and he's really quick as well, gets himself into really good positions. And I think that's something that AFL clubs look really closely at, is that athletic profile. And he's certainly got that in spades. He projects at the next level as someone who's that third tall and can play at either end of the ground. We saw when he did play for the Young Guns, he was playing forward again and was able to hit the scoreboard six times, whether through goals or behinds, and certainly involved in some more scoring chains as well. So he's really dangerous, understands the game really well. The thing that's held him back has been last year, school footy sort of punctuated him when he did start hitting some strong form. And this season, there has been a few little niggly injuries, but when he has played, he's been one of the best consistently for the Western Jets, and yeah, really impressive player to watch. So when he launches at the footy, he's hard to stop and one I really like watching.
I might continue on that same path of the taller prospects as we go along, but I'll touch on Lachie Voss now. And he's out of the Sandy Dragons, had a bit of a, you know, injury interrupted season last year, but played a few good games at the back end of last year's, come into this year and played a few solid games to start the year. And I can kind of touch on a few positives and negatives with him. I guess the positives are his general cleanliness at ground level and composure in the defensive 50. And compared to most talls, he does that a lot better by hand. He's very clean, understands kind of where he is and how he should exit it out of D50. So he's very well drilled tactically. The negative with him is his ability one-on-one in the contest. I do think that's struggled to improve as much as it probably needed to in these first couple of weeks. He has struggled on those key forwards. You know, take you back to last year, he struggled on Nate Caddy, where Nate Caddy was pretty powerful, and that was probably the best test he had. Wasn't able to really get a hold of him, did at some points, and in the first couple of weeks, that's kind of where he's been let down. But he does, you know, in terms of mid-season prospects with that high key position defender, you do have to take him into account.
Yeah, and at 199 centimetres as well, he's taller than a lot of the key defenders. We know there's not too many key defenders at the best of times, but particularly in this draft, there's quite skinny on that position of the ground. So that'll help his cause. And you talked about the game on Nate Caddy. I really liked his game in the grand final last year from memory. There were some really good spoils. So I think he has shown at times that he can play one-on-one really well. Obviously, being that developing key position player, there's going to be some inconsistency, but certainly some positives from his point of view. And now that he's getting some consistent form behind him, I guess the question is, has he shown it enough, or has it just been too sporadic so far? And is he someone that, if he doesn't get picked up, can stay on Sandy's list and perhaps be on clubs' radars in 6 months' time? He's also played some senior footy for Port Colts and he's done quite well at that level as well. I'll move on to a player who had an enormous pre-season. Dayton Urata from the Bendigo Pioneers made his debut for Essendon VFL on the weekend. He's a powerful prospect that plays across the midfield and half forward line. And yeah, he's really hard to stop because he's got that strength. His overlap run and repeat efforts are really, really eye-catching. He provides a lot of energy as well. And his kicking when he's running at full pace is a skill that is very difficult to master, but he executes it quite well regularly. And I enjoy watching him. He's the skipper of the Bendigo Pioneers. That work ethic is something that stood out in the program this year from all reports. And I'm looking forward to seeing where he can take his footy, because I think what I've seen from him is a really strong first fortnight or so of the season, particularly thinking about a practice game against Murray. He was by far the best player on the ground on that 37 degree day, and then probably a little bit quieter in the last couple of weeks.
He's just crafty when he needs to be, and he's got that electricity about his game where he can provide a bit of X factor in any team he's in, and we saw that a little bit for the young guns, but as well Bendigo, like you spoke about, that game where has those moments where he is pretty eye-catching, he's quick, he's got pretty good fundamentals in general, understands good transitional movements and where to feed it off, where to find that kick inside 50, and him be himself a good target inside 50 as well when he is there. So he's an interesting one. He's probably on, if you had to give an opinion, do you reckon he goes?
No, unfortunately, I don't.
I think it depends what comes before him, to be honest. I think if clubs are not looking at him in those first 10 picks, if there's a club that's got two or three picks, I think he's got an okay chance, I think, because he's put together a good start. I'll move now. We'll touch on two Eastern boys now. Yep. And the first one we'll start with is Illero Smith, ruckman. Big kid, Illero is, but he's been pretty productive in the first couple of weeks. And whether it's in the ruck and that ability to use his strength or just moving inside forward 50, he's been able to take a few good clunks and be a strong forward target. And he's almost at that point where he could be a key forward with his height, the way he goes about it at times. But what's your opinion of Illero in terms of he does fit the bill for this draft? So where's his draftable talents at, and where could he be let down at?
I think his draftability comes from the fact that he's so attacking and so aggressive in the ruck. And it's, I guess you talk about mid-season draft prospects and you think they need to have progressed from last year. And last year he didn't play any footy at Coates League level at all. He did play some games as a double bottom major, but he hasn't played a full season since 2019. We have talked about that a bit on the podcast, and he's just built into some really nice form. And every time he goes into the ruck now, you can really bank on him not only winning hitouts, but his preferred hit twos are really predictable as well for that midfield, and he really sets up the likes of Josh Smiley and Christian Moraes to be as dominant as what they have been. So I've really liked what I've seen from him. Obviously, he's played up forward as well. He played up forward the most recent game I watched. He touched on that versatility with the size he has got and his ability to take contested marks, which we're starting to see more and more of. Kicked the match winner from 65 a couple of weeks ago against the Western Jets. I put a bit of mayo on that. It's probably about 55, but that's okay. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story, as they say. And he's running as well. His running capacity is really strong as well.
Remy McLean, I think one in terms of a forward who knows how to get himself in the right spot, as simple as that might sound, but he's quite smart when it comes to his general movement inside 50. And I know you've watched a lot more of his game, and tell me about his general work inside forward 50. And it was as recent as this last week of Talent League where he was able to produce that. But what makes him draftable as a forward target, and what's he shown this year that has at least progressed from what we saw last year?
Yeah, so I think he's very predictable with his leading patterns. You know where he's going to lead. He sees space, he leads into it, and that allows the midfielders who are really strong at the Eastern Rangers to put it on a platter for him. He's really good in his ability to outwork his opponent. He gets high up the ground at times when he needs to as well, and he gets separation on the lead with his really fast first couple of steps. So those are things that make him really dangerous, and then he's got a lot of size as well, so he's able to take a contested mark really well, and he's a really bankable set shot. You talk about the progression from last year. Well, last year he was playing in a position that he'd never played in before. He was thrown down back, played a really selfless role, and did so really well. Probably didn't have the offensive output they would have liked, but he comes back as a 19-year-old and certainly shows that ability to take marks. But yeah, I really like him as a forward. Clubs will know that he can play down back as well from what they saw last year.
Ben Hopkins, that's who we'll move to next. I'd like you to give me a full rundown of where his improvement has been, because that interceptability has gone to the next level this year, and it was prominent in Dandy's game against Skippy at the start of the year. But it's really stood out, and he's probably one that should be quite high on radars, given especially a few of the lower teams on the ladder. When you look at a defender who's pretty productive and knows how to win the footy on that half-back role, he does it pretty well. So, yeah, tell me what makes him pretty draftable, and is there still a lot of upside with him?
Yeah, so I would say that if you want to watch a quarter of footy of any of these draft prospects to understand what makes them so good, you watch Ben Hopkins' first quarter against Gippsland, it was ridiculous. So he took 5 intercept marks or 6 intercept marks possibly just in that quarter alone. He reads the cues of the kicker really well, and he's really competitive. You look at him and you think he's light-bodied and he's got a bit to grow into, and that's where the upside comes from. He's quite strong and competitive with the frame he has got, but he's obviously got another level to go to when he does put some size on. He has put some size on from last year. He's trained with North Melbourne VFL, which has been really beneficial for him. And I think the other thing is he takes meters. He really takes the game on. Think of someone like a Toby Trevaglia who does that and gets a lot of attention for it. He's willing to take grass as well. His kicking probably has still got another level to go to. It has improved this season, but he has been taking the kick-ins and been quite strong in that area as well. So, yeah, he racks up a fair bit of the footy and is able to win it off half-back. I'm really curious to see how he goes at senior footy, whether that be at North VFL throughout the rest of the season, if he does get a chance there, or if the chance comes up tomorrow for him.
I'll move to one of my personal favourites to watch throughout this first couple of weeks. And if you ever just want to watch a player be good at football, it's Will McLaughlin, the way he has gone about it. He's kicked 26 goals in 6 games in 2024, which my math says that's 4.5 a game. I hope it's right. But that is ridiculous. He kicked 6 last week. I'm pretty sure it's not the first time he's kicked 6 this season. But he stands at 184. He's not a key forward, right? He's a smaller type forward. You could almost label him as a small forward with his height and the way he plays, but he's so athletic. His aerial ability is amazing. He does it in packs. He's able to create his own space and find uncontested marks, and he's just a really, really good set shot kicker. Like, he's everything a forward needs to be, and he does it so well. And it's his height where you're like, well, is he going to actually be on club's radar for a mid-season draft? But can you really look past a guy who has had 26 goals in 6 games? And it's not like, the only thing I would say is I wish he would have played a game at VFL level and seen what he was like against senior bodies, because I guess, well, he's dominant at 18s level. He's had 2 years, I think even 3 years. I think he might have played in his 16-year-old year at the Falcons. So that's the only thing I wonder, but I'll throw to you, is that, like, does that matter?
No, I don't know if that matters for him. I see him as like that Jamie Elliott type, hit up as a deepest forward, as that smaller forward who, like you say, has got that real spring in his step and has the ability to take an overhead mark. It sounds ridiculous because he kicks goals for fun, but I just question what that point of difference is when you talk about his weapon. It's clearly his goal kicking, it's clearly his marking. I just wonder if he's got something else that really separates him. Obviously, he's very, he's got that, athleticism as well, and he's so bankable with his set shots. But that's the only thing I wonder about. But yeah, he's certainly a lot of fun to watch, and those traits hold him in good stead when AFL clubs do consider him. We'll move to Tassie's Geordie Payne now, who last year played down back, was electric, was really flashy and sets the game up really well for them, for the likes of Colby McKercher last year through the midfield, Bo Nash, and this year he's gone forward and, yeah, impacted the scoreboard regularly. He's really adept overhead, and then when he's gone in the midfield, he's really smart and crafty around stoppage, understands that role really well, and stands up when the game needs to be won as well. I've seen him do that a couple of times for the Devils. He's got that athletic profile that you want for an AFL footballer too.
He's opportunistic as well. I mean, how many goals has he kicked inside forward 50 where he picks it up, takes a couple steps and snaps it? Like, I feel like that's the prototype Geordie Payne goal. And, yeah, deservedly so, sits as that kind of number one, two, you know, projected prospect at this point. Not sure whether North Melbourne would probably want a player like that to add to their list. Probably not what they need. But he adds just another dimension where you can throw him in every third of the ground. And those players are pretty, you know, hard to come by. Certainly. I mean, you talk, Harley Reid's obviously the latest example of it, but before that there hasn't, you know, you don't get too many players who provide that spark and energy in every third of the ground. And, yeah, picks up where he needs to in terms, like, tactics-wise. He just understands the game really well to be able to execute that really, really well.
Yeah. Liam Kershaw from the Geelong Falcons is one who runs his patterns really well out on the wing. I think he was quite good in the Young Guns series. He hits his targets and, yeah, he's really smart. He's really disciplined as well. He looks like someone who understands that role, but then when contact does come and there is traffic, he's able to step through it quite slickly as well. So I've liked what I've seen from him, the Geelong Falcons overager.
And the last one I want to touch on is Oscar Smart, who hasn't played Talent League this year, but he's played Essendon VFL, where he's been pretty productive. He kicked four goals early in the year in one of their games, and in the Young Guns series as well, he was extremely, extremely productive in terms of goal scoring. In the end, he kicked, I think, four goals in the first game. But he's a tough player. He's one of those ones you want on your team for the toughness and aggressiveness they bring. He was pretty clean out of the centre stoppages most times, and the point of difference that he fails to produce sometimes is his kicking efficiency out of the middle. That's where he kind of gets let down, because his stoppage craft is pretty good.
That was an issue last year too, I think, wasn't it? The kicking, I mean?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's where, and it was at times, probably saw that again, but yeah, he provides a pretty good aerial threat as well when it comes to marking contests. And I say aerial, just the ability to kind of get up and take a strong mark, not so much like overhead. But, he's just one that provides 50-50 moments sometimes, that when they go right, it looks terrific. When it doesn't, it's not as good for him. And that's where he was let down last year, where he'd have some moments and he is a hothead generally. Like, he plays with a lot of emotion and passion, which can affect his game.
Positively and negatively.
Yes, both. Pretty efficient start to the year.
He's one who has so much power, and I heard someone compare him to Toby Green, and I do see the comparison, obviously a lofty comparison, but that ability to take an overhead mark, that athleticism as well to really get up, and yeah, he took some of those really big contested marks in that Young Gun series, that first game that he played, and that was the source of a couple of his scores, and yeah, certainly at ground level as well, he's really clean, and like you say, takes his opportunities in front of the big sticks, has that goal now, knows where the goals are, and yeah, racks up plenty of the footy when he goes into the midfield. Certainly did that in the first half of the second game of the Young Gun series, and also worth touching on the fact that he has played a game of Essendon VFL where he kicked four goals. So yeah, that's something that you do see teenagers who aren't AFL listed can often struggle in their first year of VFL. He's one who didn't do that. He came in and impacted straight away.
Well, that wraps it up. Thank you all for watching. The mid-season draft is tomorrow night. And if you're new to this channel, we will review the mid-season draft in our next podcast, which gets released every Wednesday night. But thank you all for watching. Good luck to all the prospects that are going into the draw to be drafted. Make sure to check out our socials for more extra content, and we will see you in another video.